In 2018, Czechs and Slovaks will jointly mark the centenary of the birth of independent Czechoslovakia. At the same time, the two nations will look back on 1993, the year that their coexistence in a common state of Czechs and Slovaks ended in divorce. In the first part of a Radio Prague mini-series on the Velvet Divorce, Daniela Lanzarova looks back at why Czechoslovakia broke up.
25 years ago today, Czechs and Slovaks knew that the days of Czechoslovakia were numbered. The country that was born in an atmosphere of pan-Slavic brotherhood at the end of World War I and that survived World War II and four decades of communism hit the rocks just 3 years after regaining its freedom. The clouds started gathering over Czechoslovakia's future in June of 1992. Although the word divorce was not yet in the air, Czechs and Slovaks went to the polls and cast a ballot that predestined the breakup. Czechs favoured a centre-right direction represented by Václav Klaus's Civic Democrats. Slovaks voted for populist Vladimír Mečiar, who wanted decentralisation and more sovereignty for Slovakia. Post-election attempts to find a common course quickly hit the rocks. Václav Klaus, who was tasked with creating a federal government, later recalled that under the circumstances, divorce was practically inevitable. This is how he recalls his meeting with Mečiar in the famous Villa Tugendhat in Brno.
That first meeting was a cold shower. I went to Brno with the idea of negotiating about the future of the federation, but it was all too evident that this was not what the Slovak team had in mind. We were not prepared for this because we did not realize how far Slovakia's separatist ambitions had come.
Vladimír Mečiar of the winning Slovak HZDS said both sides clarified their positions at these talks.
We congratulated each other on our party's victories and then had a very frank, open exchange where we put our cards on the table.
Mečiar's ambition was for the country to be transformed into a confederation or loose union of two more or less sovereign partners. Slovakia wanted to have its own national bank, its own army and its own foreign policy. At that point, Václav Klaus says he knew the only option was divorce. Mečiar paradoxically kept talking about a confederation. Then Speaker of the Slovak Parliament, František Mikloško, says this was part of his plan.
Vladimír Mečiar was playing this game. He didn't want to reach a deal, but he didn't want to be the one who would break up the country. So in his wily way, he was pushing for Klaus to take the initiative. And in the end, Klaus did not appear to find that a big problem. When I heard that he was withdrawing his candidacy for federal prime minister and wanted to be prime minister of the Czech Republic, I knew the Czechoslovakia's days were numbered.
Some say that Klaus was more inclined to opt for divorce than he would care to admit, that as a right-wing Czech politician with bold plans for reform, he wanted to be free of a political partner who would pull him back, and that he was happy to be cut off from what was perceived as the poorer part of the country. Be it as it may, the politician who fought hard against the divorce was Czechoslovak President Václav Havel. He urged Czech and Slovak politicians to save the common state, and even warned Slovak voters ahead of the elections that voting for a populist leader could have far-reaching negative consequences. Slovaks did not appreciate being given advice, and Havel, the icon of the Velvet Revolution, who was cheered and feted just 3 years before, heard boos and jeers in Bratislava. On July 17th, the Slovak Parliament adopted the Declaration of Independence of the Slovak Nation, and 6 days later, at a meeting in Bratislava, Czech and Slovak negotiators agreed to dissolve the common state. The Czech National Assembly followed suit, declaring the birth of an independent Czech Republic as of January 1st, 1993.
Česká republika se stane dnem 1. ledna 1993 samostatným, svrchovaným a nezávislým státem.
A disillusioned and heavy-hearted Havel resigned from office as president of Czechoslovakia.
Milí spoluobčané, dnes v poledních hodinách...
Dear citizens, I have handed in my resignation to the federal parliament. I fear that under the present circumstances, I would not be able to observe the oath of office I took in defending and protecting our common state. Indeed, my efforts to do so would go against the far-reaching changes that are taking place and Slovakia's emancipation efforts reflected in the Slovak Declaration of Independence.
Deklarace o svrchovanosti, přijatá dnes Slovenskou národní radou.
Meanwhile, Václav Klaus and Vladimír Mečiar set about dividing the country and started work on a legislation that would cover all areas. Václav Klaus says he did so with one thought uppermost in mind.
To včerejší jednání byl v tomto smyslu, podle mého názoru.
Our talks yesterday were positive in that they emphasized that the divorce process must be legitimate and it must be controlled. We want the process to be peaceful, cultivated and smooth. Both the Czech and Slovak side feel very strongly that this process must be legitimate.
Pro nás, ale musím říci, že i pro HZDS je zajistit legitimitu těchto procesů.
The two sides approved a law on the breakup. There were many key issues to be decided: the division of currency, who would use the Czechoslovak flag, citizenship rights, and so on. Although it was agreed that the crown would remain in use for the time being, in both countries, fears of economic loss led the two sides to adapt their own national currencies as early as February of 1993. The Czech Republic kept the Czechoslovak flag despite protests from Slovakia, and it took several years for the two former sister states to accept dual citizenship. Still, the divorce went unexpectedly smoothly, and many Czechs and Slovaks found it hard to believe on January 1st that Czechoslovakia, the country of their birth, no longer existed. So why weren't Czechs and Slovaks given the chance to decide about the breakup in a referendum? Then head of the federal parliament, Jan Stránský, says a referendum was deemed too dangerous.
Nejhorší by bylo, kdyby to dopadlo tak, že jedna část země...
The worst thing that could have happened at the time was for one part of the country to say it wanted divorce, and for the other to say the opposite. That could have led to the kind of crises we see abroad. I dare say the danger was so great, it would not have stopped short of civil war.
To nebezpečí šlo až po možnosti občanské války.
Although no referendum took place, the issue was hotly debated, particularly in Slovakia.
We want independence, independence so that we can each do what we want. Unless there is independence, we will never be able to put our house in order.
I am for a loose federation, but a very loose one, so that each country governs itself. I think it is a mistake to part after all these years. There are so many ties now, and culturally we are closer to each other than to other nations around us.
Yes, I would accept a federation, but a federation of sovereign, equal partners, and that will never be the case. Show me a mother with three children who loves them all the same. There's always one which is favored, and the federation favors the Czechs. See where it has got us.
You are not being fair, you of all people. You have a Czech wife and see how well you get on.
Czechs and Slovaks living together on the common border were perplexed by the upcoming change and uncertain as to what the future would bring. Sedonia was a village lying half in Moravia, half in Slovakia.
Sidonia is one village, one entity. How do they want to divide us? The village shop is on the Moravian side and I go there daily. I said I did not want to live to see this day, but what can you do?
I have no idea how they plan to divide us, Klaus and Mečiar. Mister, all my life I've been listening to them talk about problems, so let them resolve it, one way or the other. But if you ask me, I would favor retaining Czechoslovakia. We have no problem with Slovaks. We like the people. We like their language.
In Slovakia, the split, which took place at midnight as the country saw the new year in, was welcomed with cheers and nationalist speeches. There was no cheering in the Czech Republic and quite a bit of nostalgia. Czech television played the Czechoslovak national anthem for one last time at midnight and followed it up by playing the Czech national anthem alone right after. It took Czechs many months to get over the feeling that something was missing when the anthem abruptly ended on the Czech verse. Some Czechs and Slovaks refused to accept the divorce and describe themselves as Czechoslovaks to this day. They traditionally meet in Velká Javorina for a New Year's celebration and a show of cultural identity and fast friendship. However, the two peoples gradually accepted the change, and there is no party or movement today advocating a return to a common state. Politicians claim that, as in many divorces, relations are better than ever, since the two sides have greater respect for each other, and as two smaller countries in the EU need to work together to boost their negotiating potential. People under 25 no longer even recall a common state, and those who do are no longer nostalgic. Here's how people in Bratislava feel today.
It wasn't something we wanted, in my family especially. We were a little bit sad that President Havel was not really like defending Slovaks and the Czechoslovak Republic. So this was the sad part. And in that time, we were opposing the separation of republics. But when I see all these things now, I think it couldn't be better. Now we don't have all these excuses like we did something, our little brother from Slovakia did something wrong. Now we, you know, like we couldn't win, I don't know, the hockey match or something. So we lost all these excuses. It was actually a good idea. I mean, we are closer with Czechs now more than ever. You can have a look how the Czech TV and Slovak radio and television looks like. Like logos are almost the same. Programs are similar. Even in private television, we have programs for both the republics because the market is bigger when we are together and we understand each other still. So they're using it.
I did my army service in the Czech Republic and still have many friends there. I was born in Czechoslovakia, so I was not in favor of the split. You know, 1993 was a time when Europe was coming together, and so I felt like we were taking a step back.
There were many people in my surroundings who were against, but in my family, there was not a big disaccord about splitting up. There are always two sides of a story. I think the story of Czechoslovaks might have been nice. On the other way, as a Slovak, I am very much in favor of splitting up. So for me, it's important that we, as a sovereign state, can manage our own life.